If you're free on a Wednesday, 12 till 1, please come down. It's at the building, the main building down the road, and just sort of like get together and let's pray for not only this place on a Sunday, but this area and this nation. We've also got three Christmas guest services. We've got the first one on the 11th of December, that's on the evening, so back down at the building. And we've got two on the 18th of December, one on the morning and one on the evening. So if you're thinking about family, friends, this time of year, sometimes they think about church a little bit more and God a little bit more. So it might be an opportunity to grab it, invite them, get them along, and let's get them into the presence of God. All right.
And also Christmas-wise, we're going to actually meet. It's Sunday, the 25th of December. Did you notice? So we're going to meet for 1 hour, 45 minutes, 1 hour, for those of you who'd like to. I know some of you probably not be able to do that. Some of you will just be chilling and with family and things and cooking massive dinners. That's okay. You can do that if you want. But a good number of us probably would like to come and worship Jesus on Christmas morning. I mean, we haven't got little tiny kids anymore, so we can do it quite easily. And Roy Crocker's going to preach and lead the meeting, and Franco's leading the meeting. So it should be awesome. Be a nice time together down at the building. And if you want to bring the kids, that's great. Roy's got, you know, some good fun he's going to do with the kids, and they can bring a present that they've opened if they want, as long as it's massive with loads of little bits. But, you know, that would be good. So anyone up for that Christmas morning? Yay, awesome, that's good. And also bear in mind there will be no meeting on New Year's Day. That's the next Sunday. All this is obviously and everything. So if you're wondering about whether to come on Christmas morning, remember, if you don't, it'll be a couple of weeks. But that's up to you. So does that sound good? Praise the Lord. Good morning. Oh, is it afternoon now? Oh, no, of course it isn't. It's morning. What am I talking about? Okay, so I'd like to speak to you about living a life of faith this morning. You might want to open your Bibles, Hebrews chapter 11. Let me read you a little bit of the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 11, famous faith chapter. It says in verse 5, by faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things yet not seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he didn't know where he was going. Amen. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you're our wonderful teacher. And we ask you to come, Holy Spirit, this morning and fill our minds and hearts with your truth. We ask you to illuminate our hearts, to give us more faith, to encourage the faith that you've already given us, to help us take action and sow that faith, sow those seeds of faith, to see mountains move and awesome things happen. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. So it says that without faith, it is absolutely impossible to please God. And it really is. You can sing all the songs you want, and you can get up early on a morning and pray, and you can give your money into the offering and do many works of so-called good deeds. But without faith, it is absolutely impossible to please God. It just becomes religious activity instead of a living relationship with God. Faith is the secret ingredient of the secret ingredient soup that changes everything. And everyone has a measure of faith that God has given you. And the great thing about faith is this: you don't need a lot to see miracles happen And do I actually have a real living relationship with God? Jesus said, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, mustard seeds are tiny. I was going to try and get one, but I couldn't. And then I thought, what's the point anyway? Because I put it on my hand and you'd all go, huh? And then I'd have to get Larry to come get his camera and rig it all up. But anyway, I may as well just pretend. Here's the mustard seed. Is that cool? You see that? Oh, it's gone. And mustard seeds are tiny. And your and my faith might be tiny too. That's okay, says Jesus, providing you know what to do with it. Providing you can sow it, act on it, and then it can be used by God to move. This tiny thing can move mountains. Maybe there's mountains in your way, but they can be moved by faith in God. Everyone who walked with God in the Bible did so by faith. And it says about, here's a few guys here. He's Enoch, for instance, who didn't experience death. Would anyone like that? I mean, didn't experience the going down and the getting ill and the all that of death. He just, because of his faith in his relationship with God, he walked with God every day, walked with God, it says, and God just took him one day. Phenomenal. That's sort of how Smith Wigglesworth died, actually. Smith Wigglesworth had this ministry, you know, of healing and then later preaching and healing and teaching, and then in the end, international ministry, Pentecostal minister. And when his death was really gentle and beautiful and interesting, he was in a pastor's prayer meeting just before a service in a Pentecostal church. They went in the back room and made themselves a cup of tea and were having a little prayer. It was a winter's morning. And he sort of leant against one of the pipes and was talking to them. And one of the elders came in and he said to him, how's Sister So-and-so? Because he'd recently prayed for her to be healed. And the elder said, oh, she's still got a bit of pain. And he went, oh. And the elder said, but you know, she's coming this morning. We can pray for her again. We can pray for her again. Smith, he's gone. That's the way to go, isn't it? You're just doing your business with God, and you know, and you're just gone. You're in heaven. Hey, I'd like to die like that, wouldn't you? That's how Enoch died. Every day, just walked with God, and he obviously did that by faith. And you know, he got used to having a daily relationship with God, a nice relationship with God. And in the end, he just went on one of those prayer walks, never came back, and never found his body. Where's Grandad gone, Mum? Oh, you know where he's gone. Grandad Enoch, he's gone for one of his prayer walks. He likes them. Okay. And later on, hey, where's Grandad, Mum? He hasn't come back. And he hasn't come back. Well, we know where he walks. Let's go and find him. Never found him. Is that amazing? The Bible says God took him. He had a relationship with God by faith, and you can only have a relationship with God by faith. He walked with God every single day, and he walked with God talking to him. Isn't that what Chris just read from the psalm as well? God says, come and talk to me. My heart, it says, I'm coming, Lord. Isn't that nice? Come and talk to me. I'm coming, Lord. You won't be able to do that unless you have faith. How do you know if you have faith? Let me tell you. It says right here, it says, you have to believe that he exists and that he rewards you if you seek him. That's the basis of faith. If Enoch didn't believe he existed and that there was a reward in him praying, who would bother? You'll never pray if you don't believe in God. You say, what are you talking about? I believe in God. Well, actually, if you believe in God, you will have a relationship with him in prayer. Because you really believe he exists and you really believe he rewards you if you do pray and seek him. Enoch did that. So every day he went for a walk with God, talked with God. He'd walk around and then he'd have to walk back home. And God would walk him home every day. And then one day when Enoch got older, he's on a prayer walk with God. He might have turned around and seen the way back home and thought, it's a bit far. And the Lord must have said to him, why don't you walk me home tonight? Huh? Do you want to come to my house instead of me coming to yours? Can I? Yeah, come on, I'll take you.
That's what it says. He took him.
Come on.
That's the way to die, isn't it? You can only have that kind of relationship with God by faith. You got to believe he exists. Do you believe? Do you believe he rewards? He rewards those who seek him. Let me tell you a little faith story from our own life. You know, a life of faith is just a life related to God. You can live life at one level, which is just human life, and hope that God blesses you. Or you can live a life at a different level, which is the life of faith, where you're really involving God in everything you do, and you're looking for the God option in things. That's the life of faith. And, you know, one time when we needed a bigger car. That's a common issue with many people, especially if you have a big family. We had three children. We had a Ford Sierra, and it was nice. It was all right. And then Margaret had to go and get pregnant again, didn't she? With our Sam, number four. And so as soon as she's pregnant, those of you who have big families, I know quite a few of you do, you know there's an issue in your mind, isn't there? Straight away, is the house big enough? Is the car big enough? How are we going to survive? We need a bigger car. So we started to think about a bigger car. So I'd be driving the kids to school. Say, okay, kids, we need a bigger car. And, you know, I was working on the staff of a church. Christian workers' wages was zzz. So, you know, just had enough to pay our bills. And we didn't have any money to buy a car. So actually, that actually wasn't really in our thinking anyway. We couldn't have just gone alone and got a car. So we prayed with the kids in the car on the way to school and said, come on, right, kids, we're going to pray. Start praying for a bigger car because you need a bigger car. I remember the moment driving along Martin Road, taking the kids to school. And I said to Joan, Ruth, and Anna, right, what type of car would you like? And one of them, can't remember which one, harped up and said, one of them! And driving past us was a Toyota Previa, a silver, brand new. And I tell you, in those days, Toyota Previas were like spacecrafts from another planet. They were awesome. They were the best thing you could get in terms of big cars. And this Toyota Previa drove past. I remember thinking, well, we'll be happy with anything God gives us, won't we, kids? But they said, yeah, but you want like one like that. So we said, okay then, let's pray for one like that. And we started to pray every day on the way to school, our normal little prayers of protection and give the day to God. And we'd say, and we ask you, God, one of the kids would say, to give you a car like that one that went past. You know, and we kept praying month after month. Margaret got bigger and bigger. Month after month, I got bigger and bigger. No. And then, you know, eventually, you know, it comes the time where the baby's going to be born. And the kids, there's always a test in faith, isn't there? There's always a fiery test. It's not seeming to work. God hasn't heard us. Oh, no. There's always that bit. And, you know, the kids are like, where's this car? Mum's going to have the baby any minute. And I'm like trying to act full of faith and saying, God will do it for us. Please, please. Anything. I'm not bothered about Toyota Previa. Anything. But, you know, and then Margaret had Sam. Now, just around that time, this is what was happening. The Toronto blessing was kicking off in Toronto. And we were all hearing about it. Holy Spirit has been poured out. There's a lot of excitement. Ellie Mumford had just been blasted with the Holy Spirit. Ellie Mumford ended up, her and her husband, leading the vineyard movement in this country. There wasn't any vineyard churches in the country at that point. But she went to She went to Toronto and was absolutely mega blasted. Came back to HTB, to Holy Trinity Brompton, and was friends with those guys. So we were sharing with them what was happening. And they were running some leaders' days for pastors and leaders to find out what was going on. So in our church, we wanted to go, you know. So there's about, I think there were 6 or 7 full-time staff then. We said, let's all go. Let's find out what the Holy Spirit's doing. Let's go down to London. So someone said, well, let's save petrol. Let's go in one car. Let's find someone with a 7 or 8-seater car. So they asked, you know, Albert Dickin was in our church, so they asked if anyone in Dickin's had a big car that we could use, because they had a fleet of cars that they used for the executives. And sure enough, this guy turns up in his silver Toyota Previa, super cool, all little numbers on the back and 2 sunroofs and nice. And, you know, obviously, you know, no one else knows we've been praying for a car like that, but I'm like drooling. And I remember sitting in the back and thinking, this is awesome. And I saw the little clock on the, you know, I mean, this is such a cool car. And we went down to Holy Trinity Brompton, very excited about what was happening and blessed. And also, I heard about this course that they were running called Alpha. And I was evangelist. I was interested in that as well, you know. In fact, a lot of the blessing was connected to that. It was the new believers are really getting caught up in this stuff. So they hadn't actually started running Alpha conferences around the country at this point. But I got a hold of it, you know, and brought it back home and did our first Alpha in our church building in West Street. You know, it was phenomenal. You know, I think Stuart came on that first Alpha. I thought, he's a weirdo, but anyway. And it was absolutely awesome. And then afterwards, you know, Albert was quite excited about it. He said, why don't you run it for the staff in Dickens as well next time? So I ran a church Alpha. Then I thought, you know, let's run one for the staff in Dickens. And I was a little bit nervous. I'd only run it once. And it was a lot of work, and I wasn't sure I could do it. So I went to ask the pastor, Ian Kirby, at the time. And he said, I don't think so, Martin. Sounds like out of, you know, what your job description is. You run it here, son. Don't do it over there. But I felt a bit of excitement about it. I said, do you know what? I feel a bit of excitement about it, though, Ian. And he said, well, I'll tell you what. And he took a bit of a risk. Faith is spelt risk. He took a bit of a risk and said, go on then, you do it on one of your nights off. But you're on your own. He was a nice pastor like that. He was a wise leader, actually, because if a leader can't see what you're talking about, he can't back you with loads of money and resources. But he can take a risk and let you try. That's a good leader. He said, but you're on your own. You're not getting any money or backing or support from the people here. You do it on your own back. It's an experiment. I said, okay, I'll do it on my own. I remember being a bit nervous and wobbling, actually, and thinking, shall I do this or shouldn't I? And then I had a dream that night about Gideon's army and all his resources being cut off, but it was God. So I said to Albert, okay, I'll do it. And he gathered together all his, you know, managing directors and from different Dickenses, actually, as well, all around the boardroom table. And we ran an Alpha there. And it was powerful, you know. I felt a bit on my own, but God turned up. Russell was saved. Russell Lockhart was saved at that Alpha. And, you know, was I taking a risk? Yeah. Was Ian taking a risk? Yeah, it's the life of faith. You have a go. You use the little you've got. And you take a risk. And then faith begets faith, and you're in a life with God then, you see. You're in a life with God. So when they were very happy, several of their key managers and directors and executives had been born again and filled with the Holy Spirit, a couple of them delivered from alcoholism, most powerful, and another bunch of them resistant. But anyway, they were well happy, and they said to me and Mark, come on, we're going to get, what do you want from Dickens? For a little celebration. We'll give you a voucher from Dickens. What is it you really need? And you know me, I said, I need a car. That's what I really need. And they sort of looked at the tokens they were going to give us and said, well, look, have the goblets as well. But let's pray for you about a car. So they prayed for us about a car. And we went on. And then, you know what happened. A couple of weeks later, there's a phone call. We've got a car for you. It's being used to transport wood around. So it's not in the best condition, but it was one of the executive fleet, you know. And they turn up with this car for us. Tell me what type of car it was. Toyota Previa. What colour was it? Silver. In fact, it was the car that I'd sat in to go down to London 12 months before. Is God awesome? Give him a round of applause because he's awesome. Thank you, God, for your awesome provision and power. And, you know, as we pray and as we take steps of faith, can you see in that story that without certain steps of faith, you don't get the car? Can you see that? You can sit at home and wait for the car, but as you do the alpha and push out with God and obey him and live your life for him, the blessing and provisions come, you see. The supernatural ones do. So anyway, here's Noah. Noah was warned about a flood when there'd never been a flood. I mean, water wasn't on the earth like that at that point. Water used to be a mist that just watered the plants, if you read early Genesis. There wasn't flooding, flowing rivers and stuff at that point. There wasn't. So Noah was warned about something that had never happened. But do you think Noah believed God existed? Yeah. Do you think that he believed there was a reward in his work? He must have, mustn't he? His faith is proved by his actions. He took risks. He started building this massive boat, bigger than this room, a couple of times the size of this room, or more, isn't it? I don't know. It's a couple of football pitches, isn't it, or something? The ark, and he starts building this massive thing. It takes him, is it 500 years? Or 100 years? Is it 100 years or five? Can't remember. Someone who really knows the Bible. Lowry. 120 years, Tom knew because he was there. No. And 120 years, right? That's a long time, isn't it? To be working on a project every day when you look wrong. When you look stupid. 120 years of being mocked for your faith by a mocking world is a long time. But he kept hammering in those nails because he had a holy fear that it actually was going to happen, what he'd heard and seen. He believed he had faith, and that faith condemned the mocking world and saved his family. Or he was rewarded, all right. He was rewarded not only with salvation, which always happens when you have faith in God, but with the salvation of his whole family and the saving of their lives. Amazing. He listened to those instructions and he believed them. You know, if you don't believe what you're hearing, then you won't sow your mustard seeds of faith and take action. You've got to go through the pain barrier, haven't you? It's like us working in Estonia. For 12 years, we've been going to Estonia, looking wrong. And only now is the door really bursting open in a supernatural way. And suddenly, with the flavor of the month, and everyone wants us and loves us, when they've always been suspicious and resistant. But you have to, if you believe what God said to you, you've got to go through the pain barrier. Do you get me? What is your pain barrier? God said something, and you've chosen to believe it, and you're acting on it, and nothing seems to be happening. I thought God said he was going to give us that car. I thought God said he was going to send me a husband. I thought God said we were going to get out of this debt. I'm sure God said he was going to be healed. It hurts to believe God and develop faith. It does. Mountains move, but it does hurt. You have to sow your mustard seed of faith and water it through prayer and suffering and tears and waiting until the breakthrough comes. And I hope the breakthrough is 2.5 weeks. It can be often. Or 2 minutes as someone's healed in front of your eyes. But sometimes it's 25 years and that's just the truth. Or for Noah, 120 years. Sure, it won't be that long for any of us. But if you don't believe, you don't act, do you? James says, show me your actions. Show me what you're doing with your life and I'll tell you from that what you actually believe. It's just logic, isn't it? Well, I was in Kazakhstan, in Shymkent, in the lowest city of Kazakhstan on the borders with the Uzbek. And we were doing some mission work there. And this guy said to me and my pal, oh, when you go, he gave us some instructions. On your way back to your flat, there's no electricity in your part of the city. Don't talk in English. You look white, you look Russian, no one will give you any grief. But if you talk in English, people think you're American, you're British, you've got money, and that'll make you really vulnerable to being mugged. It's a really dangerous part of the city. Best if you don't talk. We took that like a pinch of salt. We heard the instructions, yes, Lord, and completely ignored them. I started walking through the city. It was a nice sunny night. Didn't look scary to me. So we're two English guys. We can't, it was, you know, about an hour and a half, 2 hours walk. It's a massive place. We walked along. We couldn't help chatting. Started chatting like English guys do. I say, old boy, what's happening with the cricket? I don't know. How is Her Majesty anyway? You know, we're just having a proper little English chat. What type of tea do you have in your bag? Oh, you know, and it got us into a heap load of trouble, you know. When we got into the dark part of the city, we walked around the back of our block of flats and it was so dark, we didn't know. There was a big gang of guys there drinking and we were talking, oh, and suddenly remembered the instructions too late and shut up. But it was too late, you know, they were after us up the stairwell, they were banging on it, we just got the door of the apartment shut. They're very thick doors in Kazakhstan, big metal one. Actually, they have these in a lot of, some of those countries, they have big metal one, so they can't burn it down, and a big wooden one, so really quite secure. So once the door was shut, we were all right, but we didn't sleep all night. Why? Because they were at the door all night, all night. There could have been another scenario. Lads, when you're walking home, best if you don't speak English because the people hear you and they'll try and mug you. And we could have just had a good night's sleep, couldn't we? Hearing and obeying proves this, that you believe it. We obviously didn't really believe him, did we? We didn't believe the warning. Noah believed the warning. It says he was warned by God. If you do this, there'll be trouble. Some of you need to hear this for your lives. Hey, if you walk this way, son, daughter, it's going to hurt you. There'll be trouble. The proof of whether you believe that or not is whether you act on it. Okay, God, I believe you. I'm not going to pursue this relationship. It's not of you. Or, I'll be fine, Lord. I'm following my heart. Recover me. And God does because he's so good. Do, 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 do. Medic! But there's a better way. A way of faith and obedience. Trusting and obeying is the best. Can I hear an amen? Amen! Abraham took a mighty risk. I absolutely love that sentence. It just cracks me up. It's pure comedy. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive an inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he didn't know where he was going. It's phenomenal, isn't it? We're going. He went. Where? Haven't got a clue. But we are going. You know, this is like some of us guys in the car, isn't it? You know, do you know where you're going, love? Yes. Then why have we gone round this block 5 times? Oh, I'm sure it's here. You know, you're going somewhere without knowing where you're going. That's called risk. Let me tell you something. Risk is not your enemy. Playing it safe is. That's the truth. In our culture, we're all against risk, aren't we? People have jobs. I know guys who have jobs. The whole job is risk assessment. We're always trying to reduce the risk for the nation. National security. Reduce the risk. And that's probably right. And reduce the risk in this company and reduce the risk for the church and reduce the risk. Risk is our friend. Risk is the stuff of faith. Do you know who was really in trouble with Jesus in his last parable that he ever told? The guy who was really in trouble was the guy who'd received talents from him but never took a single risk. He never lost anything. He'd have made an excellent trustee or bank manager. There you are, Lord. Haven't lost a penny. The Lord was furious. You wicked, lazy servant. Don't bring your talents to heaven. Heaven doesn't need them. Sow your talents now in your life. Get out there and make a difference and take risks and do something with your life. And do not sit on it waiting for it all to be tied down and safe. And can you just make it clear to me? Clear again. A little bit clearer. Oh, where's your faith? Jesus often said to his 12. Lads, where's your faith? We need to cultivate a life of faith, brothers and sisters, where we take risks, trusting that God will be with us.
believing in the general direction he's sending us in, then going, taking steps, taking action, not waiting till it's super safe. God isn't in those deals. He's in the risky deals where you could get hurt and make a mistake and blow it. Yeah, God loves that stuff because you're forced to trust him, to need him, to relate to him in a way that you never are when it's all tied down and safe. Abraham took risks, went out. Have you ever started driving with the sat-nav before it has found the place where you're meant to be going? You know, you can't be bothered waiting. So still searching for a signal. Searching for a signal. You're in a city. You think, oh, let's just set off. You start off searching for a signal. It finally finds a signal. You're going the wrong way. Turn around. Okay. Searching for a signal. We've got to be willing to set off while we're still searching for a signal, brothers and sisters. Or you never do anything new. You never grow in your own ministry and faith. You never change. You never try something new, do something else. You never fulfill God's destiny for your life. As you take these steps of faith, do you want to hear what happened with we'd like to hear the end of the car story. So we have this car, and we use it for a number of years, probably 5 years or something. And it's a great family car. It's a blessing off God. It's our car, given by God for free. Absolutely awesome car. Use it for 5 years, and at the end of 5 years, driving around family and preaching ministry as well, it breaks. We were driving to Manchester to preach with the kids as well. We were going Sunday morning to preach, and the engine started going banger, 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 bang, which doesn't sound good. Apparently, you meant to put oil in them. But anyway, and you know, we were off on the M60, whatever, and someone towed us back. And then we had this car there sat outside the house that the Lord had given us. And we found out we could get about 500 quid for it now because, you know, we'd had a lot of miles on now, and it was. Obviously, the engine was gone. So 500 quid, and a guy came, picked it up, gave us 500 quid. We could have done several things with that 500 quid. You always can't you? 500 quid is not a lot of money, but it's not nothing, is it? You can put it towards another car. You can do something with the kids. I don't know. You can pay your bills. But we felt the Lord want us to give it away, to sow it as another seed of faith into something else. And Margaret had just found this new charity that had started that we were a little bit interested in, Jubilee Action. Some of you might have heard of it. It's not massive, but it sort of captivated our interest. Danny Silk runs this. Or is it Danny Smith? Danny Smith runs it. And he was just starting up this charity. And they were working in India with children and things. So we sent him our 500 quid. And, you know, you don't expect to hear anything back, do you? But we got, from Danny Smith, a personal letter. Can I hear a ooh? A personal letter. None of this newsletter stuff. Dear Martin, sent from Reinhard, printed a million times, you know. This is a letter written by hand from Danny Smith. Dear Mr. and Mrs. Ruddick, thank you so much for your £500. I can't tell you what an answer to prayer this is. I can't tell you at what time this has come. Perfect time for us. With your £500, we have rescued a baby girl from a brothel. This girl was sold as a baby to this brothel for a life of abuse. And with your £500, we bought her from the brothel. And we have put her in a Christian family. And we've called her Glory. And we wanted you to know. Is that awesome? We were in floods of tears. There was a photograph of little baby Glory, not a printed new, a real photograph taken by Danny Smith of little baby Glory lying on the floor. That was the best £500 I've ever spent. I'd have spent £500,000 to save a little girl like that, wouldn't you? A little seed of faith can transform someone's life if done in the name of Jesus and in a flow of a life of faith. £500. He's several times he sent us photographs of her. Oh, bless her. She's grown up in a Christian home, little Glory. She would have had a mountain in front of her of abuse and death and Satan all her life.
But with a little tiny mustard seed of faith, that mountain is gone. And she has a mountain of glory instead. Jesus wants us to have faith in him. And so our money and our talents and our time into whatever he's got for us. All you need to do is hear him and take action. Just do your little simple bit in faith and watch the big faith story unfold. Let's stand. Why don't you put your hand on your heart and pray after me if you'd like to. Lord Jesus, here is my heart. Today I give it to you afresh. I want to walk with God. I want to hear your voice. I don't want to save my life. I want to invest it. I want to do the little things that you call me to do. In faith that you will multiply them, that you will move mountains in other people's lives, and you will develop a relationship between me and you. So I can walk with you every day and be a friend of God. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for hearing my prayer. And Holy Spirit, I ask you now to give me many mustard seeds of faith for every area of my life so we can walk with you. Amen. Amen. Give someone a hug. We're done. Bless you.